few moments, we want to welcome all of you that are here this evening. Maybe it's your second time or third time, and I believe we have somebody here for the very first time, Gabriel. Amen. It's good to have you here with us, Gabriel. Amen. If you're new in the home, welcome. Men's home, women's home. Some of you, I see some new faces, haven't got a chance to meet you yet. And it's amazing how the cycle of the home goes. You know, I got a text from John Shedd today and said, Pastor, we're here. Me and Cisco, we're here. Just want you to know, phone's going off. It's been my last text to you for a while. Amen. I was like so excited. Amen. And see the cycle of the home is through the years. And for those of you that are new in the home, I hope and pray that you'll stay, graduate, and be part of the fellowship, be part of Victory Outreach Albuquerque. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is what I want to do. I want you to, when you remain standing, I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah 43 and verse 19. Amen. How many appreciate our music team? Amen. They really bring us in. Amen. They lead us into the presence of God. Isaiah 43 and 19. There might be some of you out there that are musicians or singers or horn players or guitar players or drummers or whatever, and you might be saying, man, they'll never let me play there. But you never, yeah, everybody that's up here said the same thing. And look at them. So I want you to, if you have that gifting, man, start praying and ask Charles to let you in on Thursday nights, man, to come and check it out. Amen? We'll invite you. But I don't know why I say that, but sometimes I just led to say that, and that's when musicians are here. Amen? So I don't know. Maybe there's no musicians here. Maybe I'm just expecting. Amen? Isaiah 43 and 19 in the New Living Translation reads like this. For I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun, he says. Do you not see it? Your Bible might say, do you not perceive it? He says, do you not see it? I already started. He says, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in dry wasteland. Let me read that again. It says, for I am about to do something brand new in you. See, I've already begun. I've already started this business. Do you not see it? Can't you see it? Are you so blinded by your circumstances? Are you so blinded by your pain? Are you so blinded by what's going on around you? You can't see what God wants to do in your life. So I'll make a pathway in the wilderness. In other words, I don't care how dry the desert is. I'll put a river there if I want to. I'll put a road in the middle of anywhere if you can't see that. Oh, I like what he says. He says, can't see it. You can't see? He says, I'll create a river in the dry wasteland. Listen, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but when I get thirsty and I need a drink, and I'll be out there sometimes, you know, I'll be fishing, I'll be hunting, or I'll be out there working, or I'll be in the backyard. I run to get that cold glass of water. It feels good. But when you're in the desert, there's no water, and God says, don't worry about that. I'll make sure you got a river. I'll make sure there's water. I'll make sure that not just any water, but I'll bring living water. Huh? Father, I pray, God, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon this time that we have together. I pray as I bring out the theme of 2018 that you speak to your people. I pray we would grasp it, we'd get a hold of it, we'd internalize it, and Father God, that we would be walking it, I pray. Father, I pray no distractions would be able to stop us from being able to receive what your word for our churches in 2018. In Jesus' name, and everyone said together, amen. Give somebody a high five and you can be seated, amen. Isaiah the prophet declares to Israel, he says, hey, man, God's about to do something big. And I don't think you can see it. Because he says, can't you see it? In other words, he's been a little bit like tough with them. Man, I'm getting ready to start something here. God already started something. He's saying that he's about to do something new and that you're acting like you can't see it. You're acting like you don't believe it. You're acting like you don't know. And he's saying, I want to do something new in you this year. And God already started to do something. I don't know about you, but he did something in me. He started something in me, man. I just started moving in me and moving in me. Since the beginning of the year, there's been something happening within inside of my life. And I tell you right now, I can feel it. I can sense it. That God wants to do something big, man, in my life. Somebody better understand what I'm saying here. When I say this is a personal word for you and for our church, that God wants you to be expecting. He wants you to be understanding that you know what, that if you can expect what God's going to do, then I'm telling you right now that you're going to walk in it. But if you can't expect it, if you can't see it, you're not going to, how are you going to expect it? You have to see it. The Bible says, we are to call those things that are not as if they were. You see, he said, I've already started it. You're so bogged down by life, and you're so bogged down by your busyness, and so bogged down by your circumstances, you can't see it. It's right there. It's on its way, but you can't see it. And if you'll open up your eyes, your spiritual eyes, you'll open up your heart, you'll see what I'm talking about. See, if God says he's going to do something, then you better believe him. And he declares he's about to do something new, then you have to be walking in expectation. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to go another year. I don't know what's going to happen this year. You have to walk in this year and say, I expect God to do something big. I expect God to bless my life. Why? Because God is a good God. He says, you know what, God says that he can make a way in the desert. He can do whatever he wants. He can do the impossible. And sometimes we're so busy looking at the impossible, we don't want to look at the one who can make things possible. He says, I want to do something new in you this year. You have to expect it. And when he does something new in you, there's a reason. He's not just doing something in you just to make you feel good and have you have some Holy Ghost goosebumps and you just feel, I feel so good. He wants to put something inside of you that will fuel you, that you might be a blessing to somebody else, that you might be a blessing to the hurting people of our city, of our families. Listen, our city is sick. Our city is addicted. Our city is lost. Our city is in darkness. I'm telling you right now, God wants to raise up some people that can see what God is about to do, that can sense that with expectation that God wants to anoint you, to put you in the right places at your job and in your family and in your neighborhoods, and you can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope that comes from the gospel. There's a cause. And if there's going to be a cause, then we can't do the cause. We can't do what's expected of us. We can't minister to people if there's no passion inside of us. We got to have passion that burns inside of us. And when you have a passion for the cause of Christ, it creates an atmosphere of expectation. It creates expectation in people, and it creates expectation in your family. You wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and all of a sudden expectation begins to well up inside of you. You say, I wonder who I'm going to be able to find today at work. I wonder who I'm going to talk to at the gas station. I wonder who I'm going to talk to at Walmart. I wonder who I'm going to talk to there in the park where you're walking your dog. I wonder who I'm going to run into. And I'm going to look him in the eyes and say, hey, let me tell you some good news. Let me tell you about how God is able to change my life. And if you're ready for some change, he can do it for you too. You can give your testimony 20 times and nobody get touched. But you get a little expectation. You get a little passion inside of you. You get a little fire inside of you. And you look at somebody in the eye and tell them, listen, God has a plan, man. I was dead in my sins and God came. He sent his son to come and pay the price for my sins. He paid a price that I owed. Man, I had a debt I couldn't pay. And he came and he paid that debt off for me. That's passion when you talk like that. When you share your heart with people. See, he wants to fill you with a passion for the cause. He wants to fill you with passion to expect greatness from him. What do the scriptures say about this subject, about expectation, about expecting God? See, why is it that you can expect something good from God or something great, some great things from God? And see, let me tell you why. Because he's a great, that's full of greatness. God is full of greatness. And because he's great, he's a great God, we better have expectation that a great God is going to fill us with the courage and the zeal and the passion that we need to see greatness. To attempt great things for him. He wants you to attempt great things. He wants you to step out in faith this year. He wants you to step out a little further than you're normally. See, some of you step out in faith, but you have your little baby steps. Like, in this area right here is like real bad for me. I got to make sure I have lights like right here. We need some new lighting. Right here. And like a one light right here when we have dramas. Because two times we've had dramas and I don't know how I didn't fall. I look like a cartoon or something like that. Two times this happened. It happened for Art Blahos and it happened for Scrooge. I'm like, man, I couldn't see it. Can you not see it? But some of you feel safe when you just step out in the right where you feel comfortable. But God has said, I want you to step out a little further. One of the things that the guys, when we go hunting, we're out there in the hills, we're out there hunting, and we're out there. Well, we know the land pretty good, so we kind of know where we're at, but there's nothing greater. You ask anybody that loves to hike or anybody, there's nothing greater than discovering new ground. Me and Sister Barbara, we were this past year when we were hunting, we were up in Vicuesta, New Mexico, way up north, almost the Colorado border. At about, I think it's about 9,000 feet above sea level, 8,800 feet. And, you know, it's tough. But I thought, man, I'm not in that bad of shape, but I was winded. Now, she'd been running before she went. She'd been working out, you know. So she went and she was walking up there like that. She's looking at me and I'm like, and I thought to myself, man, I'm like, you know, like Fred Sanford. Like, honey, I'm coming home, you know. I said, boom, I'm going to fall over right here. She says, you okay? Let me slow down. I go, please do so. I said, you're going to carry the rifle. Said, my rifle weighs like 28 pounds, you know what I mean? And so we found some places that I'd never found before. Now, in that same area, I think it's like Mark, I think Johnny Ramos, and I think Pastor Joe as well. We all have all been up there hunting it sometimes, and we've walked around that little area right there. It's a brand new area. I'd never been to there a couple of years ago. But this year, Sister Barbara and I, we went to places that we had never been before. We went into some deep canyons, way up in the canyons. So far that there was no human track back there. We saw a human track where the guys had been hunting. Then we found places where all we found was bear track and lion track. Found new places. See, there's something to be said about discovery. There's something to be said about like stepping out. And some of you, the reason why you can't really expect anything, because all you ever step into is what's comfortable. God is saying, I want you to walk in expectation this year. He's saying this, do you not know who I am? So I'm the God who created the universe. You know those planets that say, well, we found another planet. I made those, he says. I made your eyelashes. I made every part of your body, your eyeball, your heart, the way it pumps. I made that. Don't you think you could? Come on, give me a little bit. He says, give me a little bit of faith. Can't you expect something? Knowing all I've done for you? Pastor Joe was in court in Taos City. He goes, Pastor, we went to the gorge. Oh, wow, the gorge is beautiful. He said, imagine the way he cut that, and the way he cut it with the water, cut the gorge at that, and he can't take you out of, he can't get you out of jail. He can't kill that probation. Who am I talking here tonight? In this Wednesday night crowd. Amen. He can't get you a not guilty. What does the scripture say about expectation in God? And he says, expect great things from him. See, because he's great. What is greatness? What are the things he's talking about? See, God is a faithful God. He's absolutely faithful. Truth be told, our ability to expect good from God at its foundation has little to do with us and everything to do with Him. Scripture has so much to say about why we can expect good from our Father, from our God. Some of you went all out for Christmas and you blessed your kids and your grandkids this year. You made sure that they had that little gift or that one thing and you blessed them. Why? Because you're a good grandpa and you're a good dad. That's why. You're a good mama, man. You wanted to make sure that you took care of your kids and you did the best you could with what you had. You saved and you did this and you did that and you made sure. Why? Because you want to be your father, you're a mother. And let me just tell you something right now. God is not the same as us. He's God. Imagine how much more He wants for you. If I can just be candidly free here tonight and let you know that He has so much He wants to bless you with. And I know you're probably thinking, yeah, but man, does He know every little sin and every little mistake I've made, the thoughts I've had? Does He know? Yes, He does. But you know what? He still wants to bless your life. You got to have expectation. And you know what? Maybe this time when He blesses you, you can say, you know what, man? Even though I wasn't right, God still blessed me. I gotta stop that thing. I gotta quit doing that. I could have thinking like that and acting like that and being like that. The scriptures tell us in Genesis 50 in verse 20, as for you, He says, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it out, to bring it about. Many people should be kept alive. Who is that? Joseph. Joseph, man, who worse, man, what better example can you hear of to say a guy that says, man, I ain't expecting nothing, man. Every time I turn around, somebody's trying to kill me. Every time I turn around, somebody's trying to put me in prison. Every time I turn around, and then boom, one day all of a sudden the favor of God just comes upon him and he becomes a second in command right there in Egypt. And all of a sudden he becomes a change agent. He becomes the very vehicle. He becomes the very tool that God wants to use in the hands of his people. Listen, his dad, his brothers, the whole tribes of Israel. The tribes of Israel were saved at his hand because he knew how to believe God. He never, ever, ever forsook God. Even though, man, people forsook him. And even though he was put in Potiphar's house as a slave. And even though he was in the pit. And even though he was a slave there. And even though he was a prison inmate there in Egypt, he never lost hope. He always expected one day God's going to come through. One day God's going to do something in my life. And all of a sudden the call came in prison and they said, hey, come out of the cell, man. Open up cell number 13. And he comes out. He goes, what's up? He goes, come on, man. The king wants to talk to you. And he probably thought, oh my God, what did I do now? What did they say about me? They set me up. I know they did. Huh? The warden came for him. He says, the king wants to talk to you. The king talked to him. He says, hey, I heard you can interpret dreams. He says, hey, let me tell you what happened. And boom, right there, the Spirit of God came upon him. Why? Because he knew how to walk in expectation. And he was a passionate man. Think about it. Think about this scripture in Isaiah. Right before he says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. He says, behold. He says here, before he says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. He says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. And then he says, I'm doing a new thing. He says, one of the things that's going to hold you back from expectation, one of the things that will stop you from believing for your future is always thinking about your past. Always thinking about how much you messed up and how you did this and how you did. You know what? Stop already. Just get off that and start brand new and start on a clean slate. In Habakkuk, in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, look among the nations and see, wonder, and be astounded. Romans 8 and 28, very familiar. He says, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe. Well, if you were told, well, that's not the right scripture, but anyway, that's a good one. So I know Romans 8, 28 says, you know what, all things work for the good. All things work for the good. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It works for the good. Joseph said, he says, you know what, with you brothers, you sold me in slavery. And what you meant to do me harm, God actually turned into a blessing, not just for me, but for you. Now go get Papa and bring him over here and tell him he ain't got to worry about no pita bread anymore. He got all the pita bread he wants to eat. I said, pita bread? What's pita bread? That's what they eat in the Middle Eastern. It's like tortillas, kind of. Let's just say tortillas. He ain't got to ever worry. He got plenty of tortillas here. I got all the grain stored up over here. Because I'm in charge of that grain. What? Well, I'm in charge of it. See this ring right here? That ring right there says I'm in charge of that right there. So go get Dad. Go get Dad. Go get everybody. Pull everybody together. Get all the people. See, that's what happens when you're expecting. See, I'm going through all this, but I'm expecting. I'm going through this, but I'm expecting. When you think like that, you're a man of faith. You're a woman of faith. But if you always say, I'm going through this, and I'm always going through that, and I go from one thing to another, oh my God, I just can't take it anymore. And even then, God will still throw you a little bone. Even then, he'll just throw you a little something, a little nugget, a little bit. Just say, just bite on that real quick. Just gnaw on that little bone right there for a minute so you can get your flavor back. Just get a hold. All of a sudden, you start getting on there. Before you know, wait a minute. I'm getting to church on Sunday. I ain't never going to Victory Outreach again. They took my seat. And then you're moping and groping for about 4 or 5 days or a week or two or three, and all of a sudden you find yourself in the parking lot. I told myself I was never going to come back over here. But then you walk through the doors and all of a sudden you feel at home. You're like, ooh, I feel at home. But I'm still mad. I still don't like anybody. The only one I'm going to talk to is a pastor. And I really don't like him either, but I'm going to talk to him. And then all of a sudden, you end up being a leader one day. That's how people are, man. People are people. Huh? Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What does he say? What God is trying to say to us, Victory Outreach Albuquerque, that 2018 must be a year of expectation. That we must be a people that every time we turn around, we're expecting for God to move. Every time we see a tragedy, we're saying, okay, there may be a tragedy, but God's about to do something. Every time we turn around and say, I just got so blessed, but even though I just got so blessed, I'm still expecting to see God do something even bigger. You got to step out in faith this year and attempt some big things for God. Expect him to move on your behalf. See, it all starts with sowing. Start sowing some time in prayer like you never have before. Watch what God does. Start sowing some time with people. Just sow your seeds with people. You know what? Say, I tried that last year. And you know what? They burned me, man. And this happened and that happened. And I'm tired of dealing with people. I don't want nobody over at my house. And I'm not going to nobody's house. I'm not having coffee with nobody. I give them all this thing. I give them my heart. And then they don't even talk to me. They defriend me on Facebook. Well, maybe that was good for you. Hello, somebody. Did you ever think that you were like, oh, man, I feel so bad that you friended me? Have you ever thought to yourself, whew, that dude made me a favor, man. Think about it positively. Sow seeds, man. Sow seeds of love and do things for people and just start showing up to church early. Start sowing your time at work. Like, prove to your boss that you're a Christian. Prove to him. Not by just bringing your Bible and by having Jesus died for us on the front of your shirt. Those are good things to do. Go ahead and do that. But what you need to do is prove it by saying, you know what, when there's something extra to be done, I'll go do that. I'll handle that. You know how the guys at the firehouse knew I was saved when I was a fireman? They knew I was saved. Because before, I did exactly what I had to do. Now, I did a little extra. I'm a hard worker, so I'll do extra. I'm always detailed. Anybody who works with me knows what I'm talking about. I'm a very detailed person. But I would, you know, handle my business, and I would just kind of, you got to do your stuff. You do your stuff. Hey, you're not doing your stuff. You got to handle it. I'm not doing your stuff for you. I was like that. But once I got saved, my captain used to look at me. I tell the guys, hey, man, you guys look tired. Are you tired? He goes, yeah, man, I worked another shift last night. We fought a fire last night. I'm so exhausted, man. We gotta watch the truck. If the guys would be walking, I go, go lay down, man. I got yours. They look at me like, what do you want? You want something from me?
I'm like, well, I don't want nothing from you, man. Just go lay down. I know you're tired, man. I know you got to deal with your kids and stuff like that. I see them come early. Just go lay down. And they would look at me like, oh, who? I want to know where they put Danny. Who is this guy? He's an alien. This is not Danny. This is not him. Who is this guy? They could tell. My wife could tell I was saved. She didn't like me very much when I got saved because she was tired of putting up with me, but she could tell I was saved. Can people tell you're saved? See, start stepping out, man. Step out. Go up. Go out of yourself. Be beyond yourself. Let me run fast because I don't got much time here. I'll bring the rest of this out when I get back. But when you plant seed, you can't just plant the seed. See, a lot of people think, well, I'm going to plant the seed, and then I'm going to sit back and wait. No, you got to work the seed. You got to work with it. You got to get in there, and you got to cultivate. You got to water. You got to de-weed everything. You got to make sure. You got to make sure, watch it. Don't mess with it. And just keep on doing it. It may be a little while, but eventually that seed's going to pop up. And when that seed pops up, you're going to be, yeah, I knew it. I knew he got it. I knew he was listening. I knew she was listening. Man, I knew it. And when you sow, man, you got a harvest coming. And the best way to have a harvest is to tend to your seed. Like when you plant a financial seed, when you plant it, you got to continue to water it. Like if the Lord tells us to plant a seed and say, I want everybody, but God said to everybody plant a seed of $1,000 and everybody gives $1,000 and we're sitting back saying, man, we're going to see the hand of God. We're going to do a crusade. We're going to go to the ice toe stadiums and we're going to have a drama music and we're going to have this and that and we're waiting around. No, you can't just plant the $1,000. You got to come along and got to water it. Every once in a little while, you got to water it a little bit. Every time you tithe, you got to water your tithe a little bit. Every time you give an offering, you water it a little bit. You cultivate it a little bit. You talk about it a little bit. You know what? I know I'm expecting God to move. I don't care if he gives me financially, but my grandkid is going to start serving the Lord. My son that's in jail is going to get out of jail. Oh, my car ain't breaking down no more. Oh, you got to water it with faith. You got to cultivate it with faith. And when you don't water it, you're sitting back just almost in arrogance. Okay, I sowed a seed. Let's see what you're going to do, God. If you need a healing, remind God of his word. Not in arrogance and your own confidence. Remind him in his word. You said, by your stripes I have been healed. His word says that he knows the plans that he has for you, for good and not for evil, to bless you and not harm you. That's what his word says. So you got to every morning you wake up and say, okay, all right, okay, I know what I got to face at work today. May even lose my job today. But I know one thing, that I've been sowing seeds and I've been working my seed and I've been planting. I've been planting over here and over there and I've been cultivating and watering my seed. I've been praying. I've been fasting. I've been loving people. I've been forgiving people. So I know I can expect for God to do something. I don't know when he'll do it. I'm not trying to tell him when to do it. I ain't trying to command God because nobody can command the great commander. But I do know this. I'm going to remind you of your word that if I sow my seed, that I am due a harvest. And when that harvest comes in, I'm going to be sitting there saying, I knew he'd come through because he always does. Scripture has a lot to say about it. We could say all night talking about it tonight. But let me just give you some quick things. And I believe this with all my heart. For this reason, you can run in full confidence the race of God, knowing that he who laid the foundations of the earth and spoke life into existence is the same one who has been working and will continue to work all things together for the glory of God and the good in you. Come on, somebody. That's period. There's an exclamation mark at the end of that. There's an absolute saying, he who began a good work in you will fulfill it. He'll complete it. At the end of the day, our confidence is nothing, but it's the very one, the sovereign God that we serve. Amen? Now, let me give you quickly, if you can come to the keyboard. What stops expectation? The first thing is fear. Some of you, you know, Some of you have the task on your hand of finding your future mate one day. It's a task because it's hard. It's not easy, especially if you're a Christian and you're really trying to do things right. It's not like before you just go up into the club and by 11 o'clock it's like it's anybody. Like, that's my future. That's my future. That bum right there is my future. Yeah. But when you get saved, things are changed. Now you go to church, you try to do things honest, you pay your tithes, you pray now, you read your Bible in the morning with coffee, you go to sleep at a decent hour, you do all kinds of things nice. You're always helping people, you take gifts out to the neighborhood with the kids, and you bless people, you sing, you do whatever you do as a Christian, your gifts, you're trying to serve the Lord. And then you start thinking to yourself, I'm afraid to ask her out because I don't know how things work. If I ask her out, then she's going to reject me. There's fear. But there's going to be a time where God's going to bring somebody into your life. When he brings them into your life, you're going to have to take a step of faith and quit going back to when you used to get rejected. You're going to have to. There's going to be a day. I don't know what I'm talking to you, but there's going to be a day when that happens. When that happens, you can't walk in fear. You can't. Just because it happened then, that doesn't mean it's going to mess up now. You just got to wait your time. Do it right. Just wait. Let God do it, not you. Huh? Fear is so crazy. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. See, fear will paralyze you. It won't let your mind be sound when you're full of fear. Fear won't let you expect anything good. Fear says you can't, and faith says you can. So faith and fear are the opposites. Faith, you know what faith is? Faith is that fear. Faith is when you believe no matter what. It's just believe. But you know what fear does? Fear is like false worship. Worry is like an idol in the heart of mankind. We worry, always worried. You can't worry. You got to trust God. If your job's on the line, guess what? God, you better be expecting because God must have something big for you, son. Come on, homie. God's got something big for you, man. Don't you dare start thinking, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, you say, wait a minute. Ooh, come on, somebody. Now, this year, my youngest daughter, she stepped out in faith. She has a killer job, makes some killer money, especially for being single, man. She's making that money. That cheese, I'm talking about making it. She's successful. She rose to the top. She was one of the youngest. She worked for Victoria's Secret at one time, but she was the youngest manager ever in their history. But then she got into another company, a makeup company, and she just rose to the top. Rose to the top. And then God spoke to her to quit that job and start a business. And, me being the dad, saying like that, okay, mija, start your business, but keep that job for a little while. Keep your cushion, you know what I mean? I ain't got no money to lend you if you do, so... And so she says, no, Dad. She goes, don't talk me out of it. She goes, I'm not going to walk in fear. You taught me not to walk in fear, so let's don't be fearful. And I go, in the name of Jesus, amen. And you know what? She started her business, and she's doing good. It's a blessing, the business. Seeing her, watching her do her business. She learned how to jump beyond her comfort zone of that big old fat check she got from that company every 2 weeks. I'm talking big old check. She stepped out and started her own business, and she's doing well. You know what else stops you from being able to expect God? Not just fear, but the lack of faith. Matthew 15:38 says, and he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. See, if you don't believe, if you don't want to trust God, then you settle for that then. But if you want to step out this year, 2018, and you want to say, God, I'm expecting nothing less than your blessings. I'm expecting nothing less to be healed. I'm expecting nothing less to find that mate one day. Not the one I think, the one you want. You got to think like that, guys, girls. Think like that and watch what God does. See, here Jesus makes a statement and explains what a lack of faith means. He says, if you want me to do something, I need you to believe. Only believe. He says, he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Does that mean God, we limit God? No, we don't limit him, but we limit us. Maybe you'll get that when you're driving home. A lack of faith limits you. A lack of faith will impair your giving. It'll impair your serving. It'll impair your heart. It just impairs you when you have a lack of faith. Well, as soon as your faith starts, you know, instead of swelling, and as soon as it goes down and it comes down to nothing, all of a sudden you don't want to give nobody nothing. You don't want to pay tithes no more. You don't want to step out of faith and go to women's convention. You might lose your job. Sometimes you got to get bold and tell your boss, do you love what I do? I'm not doing this in arrogance, but you love what I do. I love you. Don't you think I'm a good employee? Do I work extra? Do I do my best? Then if you want me to continue to be even better than that, let me go to women's convention. I just need 3 days. I don't need 7, 8, 9 days. Just give me 3 days. Come on. And you know what your boss will say? Well, go ahead. You're going to get fired. Say, okay, well, God's going to, I'm going to have to go work for your competitor then. Remember one time I asked Pat, I said, Pat, are you going to Mighty Men of Valor? That's when he first started his job. He goes, yeah. And I go, cool, your boss let you off? He goes, I don't know. What do you mean I don't know? He goes, if you don't let me off, I have to quit. I'll get another job. He goes, but I'm not missing this. Because my future's there. My future's at that Mighty Men of Valor. Pastor, I got to be there. And I go, now he's the boss. So now he has to tell himself, self, can I go to Mighty Men of Valor? Oh, yeah, you can go to Mighty Men of Valor. You better work hard before and after. You better have that email on your phone right there because you can go. Fear says you can't. Faith says you can. The third thing, last thing that will stop your expectation is a wrong mentality. Proverbs 23:7, the first part of it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So a man thinketh, so is he. When you think negatively, and it's contagious, man. And you know what's bad is when both husband and wife both are bad, are like that. If mama's like having some rough times, brother, and you can, the Bible says two are better than one, you can lift her up. Or when daddy's acting like, you know, pobrecito, you know, like that. And you know how you are, ladies. You're like, come on, man. Come on, man of God. Get up. Come on. Get us. We're going to church. Come on. Come on, man. No, man, I can't lead you. You got to lead me, remember? That's right. That's right. But when both of you are down, there's been very seldom in the past 30 years that Sister Barbie and I have been working together side by side, back to back partners, that we've both been down. And there's been a couple of times. And I thank God for leaders in our church and Pastor Sonny and different. I remember Pastor Sonny came to me, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. What's the matter, man? People don't like me. So, and I go, it's easy for you to say, Pastor, everybody likes you. He goes, no, they don't. I go, they don't? Where are they? I got up right away. I go, you know? Everybody's going to like you, man. Get up out of that thing. You're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some people are going to hate you. You spit on Jesus. I said, oh, I feel good about that. See, when you're operating the wrong mentality, if both of you guys are messed up, man, that's bad. So you got to stay like a tag team sometimes. Amen? On the other hand, you have to make sure you aren't expecting fantasy things, thoughts like, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it. Shh, chill. Quit trying to be prideful and just let God do it. That's what will happen. Been there too. On the other hand of that, if you'll wait on God, God will raise you up. See, fear gives you a fearful mentality, man. Not a sound mind. Faith gives you the sound mind. Lets you walk in the sound mind. I'm sharing this, the beginning of this, because I got more to share in the next few weeks, next month, for expectation, the year of expectation. This is what God is saying. I want you to expect the greatness of God. You've been sowing in this city for all these years. Our church is going to be going for 33 years. years now, this coming year in March the 6th, 33 years that my parents started this church. And I want you to know it's going to be my 27th year pastoring this church. And I'm expecting nothing less than the greatness of God, great things, big things from God. I need you as your pastor to start expecting again, to start walking in expectation, to start walking in passion. Passion for what? Passion for souls, passion for the cause, passion for the hurting, passion for your marriage. You make your marriage the strongest marriage it can be so that there'll be no fault in you. You be the strongest man of God, the strongest woman of God you can be. Let passion well up inside of you. So that it can create an atmosphere of expectation that when people walk for the first time through the doors of Victory Outreach, they say they may not have everything perfect and everything together, but oh my God, the moment I walked in that place, I could feel hope, I could feel love, I could feel expectation, I could feel how the pastors and the leaders and the people are full of passion for the cause of Christ. They're interested in the hurting. They're not just interested in themselves. Fill me, fill me, fill me. But they're interested in the prostitutes of our streets. They're interested in the drug addict and the gang member and the dope fiend and the banker who's about to commit suicide because he's not doing things right. In the woman who's been caught in adultery and she doesn't know what's going to happen with her family. But then one of you ladies meet her at work and you talk to her and you tell her, come to my church, and you get a hold of the messages that we're preaching, and I'm telling you, you can repent and get right with God and get your family back. There's so many hurting people in our city. So many hurting families. So many hurting people, man. Dope fiends. Homeless people. Men that are dying in the streets. Streets are murderous, homicidal. Every time I turn the news on, there's a brand new homicide. And you're tripping instead of out there talking to them. Amen. Let's defeat fear. Let's validate our faith. And let's operate with a new mentality in 2018 and watch the spirit of expectation come upon us. Everybody stand to your feet with me. Oh, God wants to put the spirit of expectation on our church. It's in me. It's in Sister Barbara. It's in our leaders. We got it. We're getting it. And God wants to give it to you. He wants you to expect that your husband, your wife, that don't come to church, that they're going to start coming to church. He wants you to expect that your son, your daughter don't want nothing to do with God, that they're about to get saved. He wants you to start expecting that your boss is going to give you a raise. You've been quiet. You've been humble. You've been waiting. You've just been a good Christian for the last year or two or three. And then one day you wanted to go walk in there and tell them, I deserve a raise, but you didn't do it. But you know what? You start expecting that God is going to begin to show them that that raise is very well deserving to your pocketbook. Listen, not because you're greedy, because you deserve it, because you're a hard worker. You start expecting it. Start expecting, not in pride and not all arrogant, but in the things of God. Say, I know that God has great plans for me and my family. I know He has great plans for my church. Oh, I want to expect it. If you want to begin to expect again, if you in your mind, if you've been kind of held back by fear, God wants to break the spirit of fear off of you tonight. I'm going to ask them to sing this song, and I'm going to open up this altar for those of you that say, I want to get rid of fear. I want faith to be in injected into my heart. I want to walk in expectation in 2018. I want to walk in passion in 2018. I want to walk with the passion of Christ. I want to know that whatever He wants, I want to do. I'm not going to hold back anymore. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to step into places where I've never been before. I'm going to step forward and not backwards. I'm going to step into the new, not the old. The former things are behind me in 2017 and 2016, and the future is before me, and I expect God to do great things in my life.
life. I expect for God to do great things in my family, in my church, in my city. Come on, from all over this place, press in and say, get rid of fear in the name of Jesus. No more fear.